You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This NFL Picks Week 7 edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. For boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit WynnBET.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. We're also brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGP to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. We're also brought to you by Freeze Pipe. Smoking cannabis doesn't have to hurt. Freeze Pipe has a unique line of freezeable pipes, bubblers, bongs, and more. Upgrade your game at thefreezepipe.com and use promo code SGP for 10% off. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Hey, what's up, you degenerate gamblers? This is Bill Burr, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, baby.
Fucking shine box.
Ooh, welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, real money Kramer. What's happening, Kram?
Dog.
Oh, well, I feel like dog is becoming a celebrity. It's week 7.
Yes.
Lucky number 7. I'm not a superstitious guy, but
7 come 11
with the Giants out of my windshield, my rear view, my side view. I'm ready to
totem is still there for people just listening to audio. The totem is alive and well on Ryan's desk.
Why wouldn't it be there?
Well, cause he turned the ball over 4 times, Danny Dimes. So you would think maybe time for a reset on the turnover totem.
No. Absolutely not. Not yet. I mean,
not yet.
Okay. My kids gave it to me. You know, you got to leave it up there for, you can't just burn it yet. I mean, I appreciate it.
That is. And again, I don't have kids, but what is the move with artwork when you put it up on the fridge? How long is that? I mean, at some point you got to take it down. Your kids were nice enough to give me a birthday card. That was July. I finally realized maybe it's time to move on.
It's okay.
But is there an expiration date on the kids' artwork?
Our move is we basically, you know, we want to make sure they keep things from their childhood. So we create these boxes. Mm. And so once something's been up for a little while, it either goes to one of their display places in their room or the playroom, or it goes into the box. So I would say 3 months.
Okay.
Is if it's there for longer than 3 months, you're doing something wrong. You need to get some fresh art, you know? Anyway.
Oh man. So much to get to. We got an awesome NFL Picks podcast coming at you. We have, I don't even know what to get to first, but let's start up here. Breaking news! In order to give back, obviously our locks have been ice cold, as cold as the freeze pipe right now. If we're being honest, we're doing two things, Ryan.
Oh, what are we doing?
First off, we're gonna give out 2 locks.
Oh,
you know, like we're like responsible gamblers. When you're in a big hole, you chase. So we're gonna be giving out 2 locks.
Got it.
Double locks, and also if that wasn't enough, we will be giving out $500 to the audience, cold hard cash. Via a DFS contest, winner take all. You know, enter your lineups. Very easy. All you got to do is go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/contest. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/contest. Send in a screenshot of either you reviewing the podcast on Apple Podcasts or the app in the App Store, Google Play Store, any sort of review, even if it's Stitcher, Spotify, maybe even it's if you've already reviewed both things, maybe it's a screenshot of you in your group text telling people like, "Hey, come check out the show." So, basically a review or some sort of call to action to spread the word, and we're hooking you guys up with $500, winner take all. I think it's probably capped at 200 people. So the listeners who are listening live over on YouTube get a head start. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/contest. Let's go, Ryan. That is the first place to start. We also, oh man, breaking news. We will be broadcasting from the Wynn and the beautiful Blue Wire Studios at the awesome Wynn Casino. If you haven't been to the Wynn Casino yet, I don't know what you're doing, but don't worry. If you can't make it out to Vegas to visit us at the Wynn on Saturday, next best thing, you can download the Wynn betting app. And man, God bless the people over at the Wynn, because they're constantly coming up with new ways to win.
Love that.
AKA
love
bet that. Big, win bigger with Wynn Bet. Some sweet new bonuses. New users, you can bet $1 and win $100 on any sport.
Whoa.
Plus, you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WinBet if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. For example, if your first whatever your first wager is, WinBet will match it 200%. So bet $100, you'll get a $200 free bet. Oh yeah, why not? Come on. No risk it, no biscuit. Go for the full 750. Max out the bonus over at winbet.com.
Love it.
Whew. Okay.
Sean.
Little business taking. And if you are out in Vegas, I'm going to the Eagles game. Kramer will be hanging out with us Saturday. We're going to be doing a show special, a guest. We're interviewing one of the more popular hosts on Blue Wire. So that should be pretty awesome as well.
Wait, more popular than us, Sean?
We'll see. I'll ask them to run the numbers, see who's actually more popular.
Beep, boop, boop, boop. Which, by the
make
way,
make it real uncomfortable in the interview.
Shout out to the Brat Stop.
Yes.
You know, again, just the continued awesome t-shirt.
Yes. And to the owner of the Brat Stop, he reached out saying like, you guys are going to come out for a trip. That is on the radar. We will eventually make that happen. Just got to lock down a date. And Colby's been, you know, crisscrossing over the country.
Getting
it's hard to make plans with this guy.
What's up with that?
Yeah. And we need God's eyes, the director of programming back in the studio, because manually changing all eight TVs is a part-time job. And Colby needs to get back here.
When we set it up, you kind of scoffed at the amount of time it would take to just set up eight TVs. And now that you're having to operate the controls, you're at the levers.
Mm.
Of God's eye, it is a lot of work, Sean.
Yes.
Before we get to football, actual American football.
Yep.
Should we allow for a little European football / soccer interjection?
Yes. Hashtag respect hashtag respect soccer.
So we wake up, Monday morning. We have Champions League. So of course, Billy did a Champions League show on the Soccer Gambling Podcast. You're gonna want to make sure you subscribe to that. And all of a sudden, we start seeing all these people responding, hashtag respect soccer.
Mm.
And honestly, I didn't know what was going on. I looked up the hashtag, still had no idea what was going on. And it turns out in our SGPN podcast network tout, we may have forgotten a show.
Yes.
So without further ado, the Soccer Gambling Podcast.
I've trolled Sean Green pretty hard here on this segment of the show, but there's a reason for that. And I want you guys to have a listen to this.
Since we're pumping things that are awesome, before we get into the game, Sean, we should remind people, Sports Gambling Podcast Network feed, debut of the Hockey Gambling Podcast.
Yep.
We'll be spinning that off to a new feed soon. If you haven't found it, we have a prop only, a dedicated prop feed called the Propcast. Mm. Subscribe to that. Any other feeds we want to plug real quick? We got room for one more.
Well, you mentioned the NHL. You mentioned the Propcast.
And we can give
college football experience.
Oh, there we go. Look at you giving Colby even, a buck. Well, get married.
Colby's cranking out podcasts on his honeymoon. So I feel like his poor wife, the first day they're married, she's watching like Tuesday Night Football, App State. So shout out to Colby playing through the you know, I mean, he went on a hell of a road trip, still cranking out the episodes. So kudos to Colby. Yeah. Follow the college experience. Get in over there.
And I guess we should say, if you're betting the MLB playoffs, MLB gambling podcast. So let's go. NBA gambling podcast coming back. Sean, we have a lot of podcasts. You got to subscribe to them all. That's the real key.
Well, the easy way is.
How much do you love me? How much do you love me? How much do you love Moonoff? That's
and here comes
question.
Here comes Boston Capper. What, am I the black sheep?
Oh, here we go.
Golf gambling podcast, of course.
Wah, you didn't mention my podcast. All right, should we start, Sean?
We will. Let's get into it. And of course, download that app, man. And fantasy football as well. We got it all. Download the app so you never miss a show. We got all the pods on there. I was just a guest on the Three Dog Thursday with our man TJ. So much fun content. All right, let's get into it. Before we do, shout out PropSwap.com. Baseball playoffs are here.
Wow, wow, wow. My podcast didn't get mentioned. He actually said, speaking of things that are awesome, and didn't mention this show. What's not awesome about it? 15-1 lot runs are not awesome. Being 26-5 for my lock so far this season isn't awesome. Winning people money nearly every single week isn't awesome. Being here winning people money for 7 years isn't awesome. I think not only was this disrespectful to me, this was disrespectful to soccer in general. So here is what we are going to do in response. I am offering everybody here an additional free play here. I'm giving you an additional free play straight from Lockbet, and it'll be a premium play.
All right, that's enough.
Hashtag respect soccer.
You understand the point. You know what? Say what you will. They come out in strength because they like those winners. So
and massive respect to Billy. He's been riding with us since not day one, but very very early on. Killing it with his soccer podcast. Not only high quality podcast, Ryan, but the guy, his lock record, as he is, isn't afraid to tell you, and rightly so, dominating against the spread. So if you like soccer, make sure you check out the Soccer Gambling Podcast exclusively on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. All right, let's get to real football. No offense, soccer, but yeah. If you want soccer, we got to play.
So just so we're soccer, Sean is currently dormant, hibernating.
Soccer
for the
Sean's
winter.
Retired. He's being replaced by MLB playoff Sean and regular season hockey and NBA Sean, who's showing
hockey. I mean, Sean,
we got Maxion Sean. There is so many other Sean's ahead of soccer Sean right now.
Just to be clear, there is going to be a hockey Sean.
Yes. And there's a hockey gambling podcast that we just launched as well. Ryan Gilbert, one of our editors, head of hockey. Check that out.
Head of hockey. That sounds pretty awesome.
The hockey, the head goon in charge of hockey. All right, let's get into it. Before we do the picks, shout out PropSwap.com. If you're getting down on the MLB playoffs, perfect time to head over to PropSwap.com. Use promo code SGP where they double up. Give you a sweet double using the promo code SGP up to $500 in bonus cash to buy and sell real sports bets. Again, you can get some, people are looking to hedge. You can buy their hedges. Great opportunity. And again, just go to propswap.com, promo code SGP. Patrick Fisher pointed out it is the fun belt, not technically Maction, but regardless, it's Wednesday night football. I'm loving it. College is going. We got Thursday night football tomorrow. We're making a last second trip out to Vegas for the Eagles Raiders. Got a sweet guest lined up for Saturday as a bonus podcast. Everything's rolling our way, Kramer. Let's get to it. Let's get some picks and let's get some winners.
Thursday night, 5:20 here on the West Coast, Cleveland. You know what, Sean? Cleveland, monitor the situation. Thank the Lords. It isn't a dog now. Cleveland laying 1.5, -125 on the money line. Broncos +105. 41 is the total. Sean, this would have been a close your eyes special. A. B. The look ahead was 6. C. Case Keenum is in. Is Baker really 4.5 points better than Case Keenum?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you guys listen to the DFS podcast, because we got we got a whiff of this early, and I said get down on the Broncos at 3.5 because it seemed like everything I was reading, Baker wasn't going to play, and the line wasn't reflecting the Baker news yet. So you could have gotten Broncos plus 3.5 here.
Yeah, and I think you know you called it out. If you were smart, you got down on it because really, how the line's not moving the other way, so it was a pretty safe position to get down on. Kind of feels like the books were sleeping a little bit. Maybe they were drinking off that ass beating they took last week, and they just a little bit of sleep at the wheel.
Well, and normally I would like Cleveland in this spot, coming off a really bad loss against the Cardinals. But man, it is crazy how banged up they are. No Hunt, no Chubb, no Baker, and it looks like both tackles could be out again. That was a real issue for them against the Cardinals. So both? The offensive line, I think Conklin and Willis, I think, are both questionable. Now, maybe they trend towards playing, but again, they're coming back from injury on a short week. That's always tough. I mean,
and Pittsburgh on deck.
Yeah. Look at spot to Pittsburgh. So with the offensive line banged up, I think this is a breakout game for Von Miller. And Von Miller actually thinks the same thing. it's been two games since linebacker Von Miller recorded the sack, and he's not handling it well.
Nope.
Miller delivered some terrifying trash talk ahead of Thursday's game against the Browns, saying he was going to, quote, kill the offensive lineman matched up against him during the contest. I think Denver's going to be able to get some pressure on Case Keenum. And again, you're making a start as a backup. It's one thing, you know, you're getting the start, but again, short week. So Keenum doesn't even get the full week of practice. Passer rating under pressure, Teddy Bridgewater, 101.8, Case Keenum, 39.6. Are you kidding me? And really, I mean, again, Teddy B is the ATS god, 38-16-1. He's been a little cold. He's coming off that 3-pick game. This is the perfect bounce back spot for Teddy.
We love him as a dog. Yeah. And you know, if you listen to the DFS show, you heard us give out some props. I mean, I specifically think this is going to be a game where there could be some passing, strangely, and maybe it's just Denver. Case Keenum, Thursday Night Football. What could possibly go wrong? And I think that the key here is how good Cleveland's offensive line has been. And when your offensive line is a strength and you have quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield, Case Keenum, when there's a crack in the armor, we see what happens, right? To use the Titanic analogy that Joe Judge was somehow caught up in this week. Look at the Giants offensive line, not a strong offensive line, a middling, but they lose a couple pieces and it got bad fast.
Well,
it just shows you how good Andrew Thomas has become, not to hijack this about the Giants, but coming back to the Browns to have two tackles limited with, as you point out, Case Keenum, a guy who doesn't exactly flourish under pressure. Maybe the angle here is you take a little sprinkle on Case Keenum to get some rushing yards. And we'll talk about first touchdown here in a second, but I don't see any way to play this. Teddy as a dog, Teddy on a road spot coming off a loss. We love Vic Fangio in this type of spot. And like I said, if there's anything that if you're on the fence and you're not sure, boy, is Cleveland just resting up for the Pittsburgh game? Chubb was ruled out real quick.
Yeah.
Baker Baker's a guy who feels dangerous. Why isn't he playing through it? All right. I think we're both on the Broncos here. I don't think there's much else to talk about.
Plus 1.5. Interesting tease opportunity as well.
Scares me a little bit, but yeah, you get that through the nice 3-7-4 combo. All right. First touchdown for me, Sean, you know, I'm throwing out the quarterbacks. They're both 35-1. Teddy Bridgewater, he ran for a couple last year in Carolina, hasn't run for any yet on Denver. I think he had 5 or 6 touchdowns rushing last year.
Teddy B.
So the Butler might be bringing in some room service. And then Case Keenum, this makes so much sense. He's going to be under pressure. If they do find themselves in there, I love him to run it in. And for the second guy on each team, you know, I like chopping up my unit 4 ways. Give me the Broncos defense 30-1. Von Miller said he's going to kill someone. Maybe that happens near the end zone. And Austin Hooper, surprisingly, Sean, up there in target share around the red zone. I don't know what it means with Case Keenum. Maybe you're swapping to a guy he is more familiar with, but 20-1 for a tight end who's getting a lot of snaps around the red zone makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, so I'm with you on Case Keenum and Teddy Bridgewater. We still had these first touchdown scores for the quarterbacks are incredibly mispriced. Even still, we saw Ryan Tannehill get that one. And granted, yeah, it was what, the second touchdown, kind of annoying to miss that. But again, it was a super, super chalky week. I'm going to actually go David Njoku at 20 to 1 for my extra Cleveland play. I always like taking the tight end as well, but I'm going to kind of zag where you're zigging there. And then Cortland, I'll go Javonte Williams. I still think Javonte Williams has a ton of potential. He hasn't quite unlocked it. Maybe on this short week, Melvin Gordon is dealing with some, I don't know. He's always like kind of questionable and then plays. I was on the under for the prop bets. But I think this is a Javonte Williams game. So I'm going to go Javonte Williams, David Njoku, and then the quarterbacks as well. Let's go.
Are we doing a D-gens or you want to save that for social?
Yeah, you can. We'll put it out at Gambling Podcast because some of the crazy parlay stuff isn't out yet.
Sounds good. All right. Both on Denver. Here's to the start of a good week, Sean, a good week.
Great week.
Cincinnati heads to Baltimore. Big AFC North matchup here. Baltimore -6, -265 on the money line, +225 for the Bengals. 47 is the total. I came into this thinking, boy, Baltimore owns this matchup.
Yep.
But when I looked at the actual ATS numbers, I was surprised to see that Cincy has covered 5 of 7 in Baltimore. Now, granted, that's obviously a large sample size over many years. Cincy on a back-to-back road spot, Sean, which is still tracking that 17-5 ATS, the road team in the back-to-back.
It's actually good for them. That is so weird.
Of a road back-to-back. I'm not sure, still not really sure why, but it's not exactly regressing yet. And then weird scheduling quirk. They actually have a third road game coming up next too. So I don't know if you factor that in the handicap or not.
Well, I mean, fantasy wise, we talked about Rashad Bateman. I think he could have a decent game. Eli Apple, a little bit of a liability for the Bengals. But again, I think this is kind of a Bengals Super Bowl for them in the sense that like they've never beaten Lamar Jackson. This is their chance to kind of make it a game. And Lamar looked really good against the Chargers, but you also remember they were down two touchdowns. It was like, what was it, like 20-3 or something against the Colts, and they were losing to Detroit. Like they've had some moments here, this Baltimore team, where they really haven't looked that good. I think Cincinnati is going to be able to move the ball against their defense. And kind of missed the angle last week of Justin Herbert not being able, and the Chargers in general, not being able to handle the blitz. The Ravens just blitzed the shit out of them. They couldn't adjust. They couldn't figure it out.
I mean, we saw it coming. It's crazy.
But Joe Burrow actually does really well against the blitz. I think his passer rating is like 125 against the blitz or 130. It's very high. So I think Joe Burrow, they're going to be able to pick up the blitz enough. And I think the Cincinnati offense is going to be able to move the ball. Like, I think there's some stuff over the middle. I really like Uzuma in DFS. I think there's some opportunities. I mean, we saw Carson Wentz carve them up. And I think if they're able to, whatever they're going to do for protection to keep Joe Burrow standing upright, as long as they do that, I think they'll keep this a game. So 6 feels really high to me. I don't know about an outright win, but 6 points, this feels like a field goal game.
Yeah, I mean, I think I came into this thinking I was going to lean Baltimore, but Baltimore, you know, quietly they've won 5 in a row. You know, Lamar has kind of worked his way back into that MVP conversation, and kind of back to the matchup itself. It does seem like Cincy, at least their numbers would indicate they're not bad against the run, and so 4th in rush DVOA, Football Outsiders. So That's very real. My concern is, does Lamar just sling it? Because I think we're seeing the evolution of Lamar.
And I kind of mentioned Eli Apple. I think if they cover this 6, it's going to be him doing it in the air. And I do like Bateman, but I just, to me, it's more about Cincinnati being able to keep up with them scoring wise.
Oh, I think they keep up. I think this is, I mean, Lamar's my quarterback in DFS because I do think Burrow can keep up or at least apply enough pressure to keep this fun. you know, the more that I think about this game, the more that I'm glad I didn't do a running back quarterback stack with Lamar, because I think he could be rolling out the arm this week. But yeah, I think it's still too close. I think Cincy has shown enough on defense. And like you said, this is a massive game for them. And it's not a massive game for Baltimore, even though the records would indicate that it's not. And so I guess we're going to agree again, bye week on deck for Baltimore too. So
yeah, looking ahead to the bye week, miss that angle with the Bills. I think some teams, especially you come off the big win against, Baltimore had a big, that Chargers win was a big win. Now they got the Bengals, a team they've owned. You could see them maybe looking a little past, I know it's a divisional game, but you could see them maybe looking a little past that as they start looking forward to the bye. So that's a good angle as well.
Yeah. And I think just kind of anecdotally looking at teams going in the bye, it's definitely not been super successful. So let's grab the point. My only thought is, do we think this number gets to 7? I kind of don't think it does. I think we've seen money come in on the Ravens side already.
I think it was like 6.5 and then it's down to 6. So I think maybe it'll go back up to 6.5, but I don't see it going, you know, too much crazier from here.
And not to mention the Bengals also can score. So I think, you know, they're able to kind of come back.
Well, and maybe
garbage time.
Yeah. If there was a 13 point lead, you could see them backdooring this pretty easily.
All right. Next up, Carolina heads to the New York Football Giants. Carolina -2.5 on the road, -150 on the money line. Giants +130.
Sorry, Ryan. There's something wrong with the sound bar.
43 is the total. Matt Rhule revenge spot. People keep saying, I don't quite understand that. I don't think the Giants ever.
He was disrespected. They didn't even ask to interview Matt Rhule.
A football guy, obviously.
Yeah, and that worked out great. I'm all over the Carolina Panthers laying 2.5, and so far I've taken 3 road teams, and I'm glad I'm doing that because overall this season, and maybe the pricing's getting adjusted, but road teams 54-40 against the spread. I don't know what's going on here. I mean, maybe people overvalued the home field and getting fans back isn't having the impact. Tough to figure out here, but yeah, give me Carolina -2.5. I mean, this Giants team is just kind of left for dead.
The offensive line is really bad. Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? You got to take the Panthers.
This isn't even a close your eyes special. They're getting points. They got destroyed last week against the Rams, but the spread was so big.
We need to just be thankful that none of the teams that almost underperformed by 21 did, because I don't know if we want to be on them. You can't take the Giants with this offense. This offensive line is horrible.
Yeah.
Gettleman has yet to go on his fishing trip. I don't know why. Garrett still not on his fishing trip. Give me the Panthers.
I mean, the Panthers also dropped 9 passes. Like, if they can just fix a little bit of that, I think they have a pretty efficient offense.
But Sean,
maybe Sam Darnold will be seeing ghosts in.
That's the angle. That's the thing.
In the Meadowlands, Ryan, what is Barkley playing? This is more for our personal fantasy team. I don't think it impacts the game, but will we see Saquon Barkley?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Not this week.
Okay, and. Someone pointed this out. It was in a comment section, which you normally don't get many good nuggets, but the guy writing in the comment section was pointing out that Joe Judge is basically, hey, we're going to keep doing exactly what we're doing. Our process is good. We're going to keep, you know, not changing anything. Matt Rhule is like, you know, hey, the stuff we're doing isn't working. We're going to change things. We're going to adjust. He's fired up. And I think he's a much better coach than Joe Judge. So
I think
Carolina's lost a couple close games, you know, one in OT, one to the Eagles. It's a 3-point game. They probably should have won. I think this is a get right game for the Panthers in a big way.
I think the only thing I'll say is with the amount of favorites covering of recent and the way the public has done well, there is going to be some value on the dogs. I just don't think it's in this one. Like,
well, and I would,
but the public will be on the Panthers.
Oh, the public, it'll be a super square play, but I would maybe consider the Giants if they're on the road. For some reason, being the home team hurts them against the spread. And I don't know, you know, like I just don't see it happening at all this week, especially with the Panthers team losing 2 tough games in a row.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the thing that scares me the most is Sam Darnold coming out of that tunnel and just completely like reverting because he's just hearing Adam Gase in his helmet. All right. Next up, Washington heads to Green Bay. Sean, the look ahead here was 7. It bounced all the way up to 9. It's now -8.5.
Yeah, I was seeing the tens, some tens out there
for the Packers. -410 on the money line. Deadskins +330. 49 is the total. Washington football team is not very good.
No,
but boy, you want to talk about a situational letdown spot. Green Bay coming off a big win against the Bears where Aaron Rodgers passionately screamed, I still own you.
I still own you.
That matters. I think if you look at Washington's D, if you want to pull out one positive in the DVOA, they're not bad against number one receivers. Maybe they can slow down Devontae Adams. And just straight up, Green Bay is 5-1 ATS. Washington is 1-5 ATS. What does that tell you, Sean? You're buying low on Washington and you're getting a high price on Green Bay. So from that perspective, I have to land on Washington here. Although I think Green Bay is pretty good tease, which I hate being in that kind of situation.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, I'm glad you're on the,
can I give you another nugget? Sure. Green Bay. Who do they have on deck, Sean?
They have the Cardinals
Thursday night.
Easy look ahead spot for the Green Bay Packers. That being said, give me the Packers. I just can't. If we're going to live in this chalky world, I got to take the Packers. And I get it. You laid out the good case for Washington as a dog, but I just can't with this Washington team. I just can't. I mean, things are so bad in Washington, Ryan. They're considering trading for Tua. Imagine your franchise, your program is so desperate for offense. You're considering trading for Tua.
He needs a fresh start.
Terry McLaurin, not practicing again. Antonio Gibson, if he does play, I can't imagine him getting much. I think they're going to dink and dunk a lot to JD McKissick. Fun play in DFS. But Taylor Heinicke is not that Taylor Heinicke that Joe Theismann and you and I saw play in the playoffs and kind of like, oh, let's go. Heinicke might be the guy. That was more a Chris Collinsworth than Joe Theismann. We know he isn't the guy. It's very clear. So I just can't with this Washington offense. I think this Washington offense struggles to put up 14 points. Now the Green Bay defense isn't as good as the Bills defense, but you remember what the Bills defense did to them? Similar situation. They destroyed the Miami Dolphins 35-0 divisional game, came back for a non-conference game against Washington. You would think not a spot they're going to get up against. And they just went to town. I think Aaron Rodgers again is a vain man. We know that he considers his image. He's still in that mix for a dark horse MVP. And what better way to stick it to the Packers organization than by getting the MVP? We saw him do it last year. And I think he's kind of in that mix again this year. He saw how he went viral last week by yelling at people in the stands, doing his discount double check, calling for the belt. He wants more of that attention, Ryan. I think it's easy to say.
You think he wants attention?
I think it's easy to say this isn't a get up spot for Aaron Rodgers and a sleepy look ahead game, but I think it's the other way. I think this is a pad your stats game for old A-Rod, and I'm taking the Packers laying 8.5.
All right. I'll leave you with one number. At this point in the season, when teams only have one ATS loss,
yep,
they are just 36-65-3 in their next game, 36% against the spread. When they are facing a team that they're favored over, it goes to 20-49-1 against the spread. So obviously the idea here is that we're at that kind of just past the quarter pole. People are maybe overinflating recency and you're just fading that. So you make good cases, but I'm going to
fifth in offensive DVOA around the Packers.
Yeah. This is a letdown spot. I think I think if your vain argument, I think
yeah.
He sees Kyler 6-0 coming up on Thursday night. Let's go. That's the game that matters. They can win this one in their sleep. All right. Next up, KC heads to Tennessee where the Chiefs are laying 5.5 -245 on the money line. Tennessee +205, 57 is the total. Tennessee's not a good team. but they win games.
Yeah.
And goddamn, Derrick Henry's good at football.
Oh my God. Everyone, I want
fucking fantasy nerds.
I want to get a meme that has Derrick Henry stiff arming. Yeah, one of those like awesome Derrick Henry stiff arms, and then the guy getting stiff armed, it just says statistical regression because he's just he's just pushing those nerds in a locker. Everyone in their mom's basement in a dimly lit room where they're using glasses with Blu-ray blocking technology as they nurse their diet Mountain Dew, firing off takes and running models about how Derrick Henry's going to have a shitty year. And Derrick Henry's just this massive freak that just runs over people. I mean, Kansas City has a horrible, horrible rush defense. Now the case for Kansas City, it's pretty easy. I mean, A, it's Kansas City.
Yep.
You know, Kansas City really needs this game. Tennessee just had a massive win against Buffalo on Monday night. Huge letdown spot for Tennessee.
Can I pile on the letdown spot? Because they have a big game at Indy next.
No, time. Yeah, and it all makes sense. Caleb Farley, the cornerback, he's out with an ACL. But I would say this, man, I think they can even let down and cover this spread because it's 5.5 points, which is I think is too much to give in this situation because Kansas City. Now, maybe Kansas City really turns it on and they don't turn the ball over. Like it's crazy how many points they're putting up and still having these turnover problems. Usually when you're turning it over in the red zone, you're not still putting up 35 points a game or whatever it is. It's kind of an insane stat. I saw this that Zach Wilson is only one ahead of Patrick Mahomes in interceptions for the season.
Mahomes got to calm down. I'm trying to cash that Zach Wilson most interceptions ticket.
That would, oh my God, what would that have paid Patrick Mahomes most interceptions? That would have been insane. And we saw certainly we saw Derrick Henry have a massive game. We saw how fast he was. And this guy, Derrick Henry just doesn't let down. I don't think there's
looks tired though.
No
Monday Night Football.
I don't think this guy gets tired.
They just put him in the cryo tank for like 4 days, and he pops.
He's going to be charged up, ready to go. AJ Brown had a pretty good game, and I think he even has a better game. He was dealing with that diarrhea he got from Chipotle.
That is a disgusting.
Which, by the way,
I mean you're dehydrated.
If you're Chipotle, what do you do?
Horrible product placement. Horrible. Now I'm trying to think. If I'm Taco Bell, I'm reaching out directly to him, claiming that our stuff doesn't give you diarrhea. I know it would be tough for Taco Bell to claim that, but some other taco place has to jump on this opportunity. I mean, if you're Del Taco, I'm trying to think of some, King Taco, whatever your taco place is. If there's a local Titan, like Nashville taco place, why are you not
right now
reaching out to AJ Brown?
And probably a barbecue place needs to reach out and be like, "Why are you eating
diarrhea proof?"
One quick nugget from my deep dive on this one is Tennessee's first half offense DVOA 24th, second half 5th. Now could just be random, but I don't know. I think you're getting cute by taking the number here. I think we saw a game last week where they definitely were up prime time. They went to town. They took care of business. It was close. They barely got the win. Josh Allen kind of gave them the win, and the offense versus defense matchup is just too scary, and it's only 5.5. I'd probably say this should be 7. We're gonna lean into my back-to-back road game spot here with Kansas City, strong covering and winning spot. So give me the Chiefs. Yeah, it doesn't feel great, but I got too deep into the numbers with this Titans team, Sean. They're bad. Honestly, I would bet the Colts to win that division right now. We can look up that price later, but this Tennessee team's fraudulent, and it's all Derrick Henry. So if he does get banged up, it's not.
Oh, you're talking for the division, yeah. But I mean, have you seen the Kansas City defense try to tackle?
They were, what did we say last week when we were watching the game? They actually showed up.
Yeah, but that was about Washington's offense.
Tannehill has not been great this year.
But I think he kind of found his rhythm against a Bills defense that is much, much better than the Chiefs offense or Chiefs defense.
Maybe Bills defense could also just be one of those defenses that does well when they have a big lead and they're not quite as good in close games.
Yeah, I guess they haven't played some of the higher grade competition. Oh man, losing your hair. It's a pretty big bummer. Thankfully, they got a solution. I got a solution. More importantly, we have a solution, and that is Keeps. That's right. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to hang on to your hair. If you're a single guy, you got to hang on to those hairs, man. Come on. You don't want to get that horseshoe male pattern and baldness. And the best thing about Keeps, it's cheap. It's easy. It's convenient, right? Everything you want in a product like this, you don't actually have to go to a doctor. You can just go to a virtual doctor. Very easy. Medications delivered straight to your door. Doesn't get any easier than that. Low cost. I'm looking at this. Only $10 a month and you get a month free. That is a great value. I mean, think about what you try and do to make yourself look better for $10 a month. Come on. I mean, and hair is such a big part of it. Discreet packaging, proven results with keeps.com. Keeps. They have more five-star reviews than any of its competitors. And let's be honest, no one's logging on and giving five stars if Keeps isn't helping them hang on to their hair. Prevention is key. Of course, if you start seeing some, you know, hair on the bed pillow, time to give Keeps a ring. You're ready to take action, prevent hair loss. Just go to keeps.com/SGP to receive your first month of treatment for free. Keeps.com/SGP to get your first month of treatment for free. Keeps.com/SGP. Ryan, we're also talking about the freeze pipe. That's right.
Can you play the announcement music?
Yes.
No. Better yet, play the there you go.
This is good music for showing off the bong that we have in studio. That's right. The official bong of the Sports Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I mean, if you're smoking the weed, man.
Woo, and smoking my weed.
You want the freeze pipe. It's pretty cool. Whether you smoke a bubbler, a bong, even just a little bowl piece there. They have this glycerin that you put in the freezer, freezes, and then you get that super soft, creamy, easy to smoke bong hits. Ooh. And the best part is you get a sweet little discount if you go to thefreezepipe.com. Use that promo code SGP, get 10% off. Oh man, so fun. I mean, and again, I feel like back in the day in college.
Do I replace this Giants thing with the?
Yeah, instead of the turnover totem, just we got a freeze pipe.
Relax, that's first of all.
The freeze pipe does feel like it's pretty good luck. All right, so the freeze pipe is in the studio, almost blocking Ryan's view. Check it out, youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast to show off the freeze pipe.
It's see
stone
baby.
Cold locks.
All right, next up, 10 a.m., another early kick. Only six early kicks this week, Sean. So if we were here, God's eye would have a bit of a break. We might have to find some basketball, hockey, or baseball to throw on there. Atlanta coming off the bye, coming off the London game. They're heading to Miami, who's coming off the London game, opted out of the bye. Sean, this one was Miami -2.5 on the look at. It's now Atlanta -2.5. -135 on the money line, Miami +115, 47.5 is the total. I feel like I keep going back to the Miami punishment zone where it's clear I should take them. It's clear I should take them here. Atlanta shouldn't be a 2.5 point favorite.
Nope.
Miami has shown they can play a little bit of defense from time to time. I think we learned last year that the week off after London isn't necessarily required and didn't help. Tua seemed pretty passionate. The trade rumors, what does that do to the locker room?
I mean, the guy was crying after the post game as is.
Doesn't matter how well he played, Sean. They lost the game.
No, it totally matters how well he plays. And he's not playing well. He threw it right to the defender. And that's what I get for betting on Miami. And I'm not going to do it anymore. Even if the numbers, whatever, to tell me to bet Miami, not betting Miami or Tua. And you're right. I mean, Atlanta should not be a road favorite, a non-conference road favorite. That's crazy. Almost as crazy as betting on the Miami Dolphins. I mean, things are falling apart here. Xavien Howard, Byron Jones, they're both banged up. I think Calvin Ridley could have a big game. I think
he's kind of cool. No one's really talking about him this.
No, time. He missed some time for personal reasons. He didn't go to London. Then they had the bye week. So maybe he's gotten his head straight or whatever he was dealing with. Maybe he was sad. Who knows? I don't want to make fun of him, and then it turns out like his kid died. But Kyle Pitts is going to have a big game. Calvin Ridley is going to have a big game. But really, Miami has just been horrific against the run. And Cordarrelle Patterson, who I got to find a way to get in a DFS lineup, he is going to have a massive, massive week.
Oh man, I like the idea of throwing together a Matt Ryan double stack.
Yep.
And you can even do it with Patterson because he's a wide receiver who plays running back. It's fun. But man, you can't be the 32nd overall DVOA team and be favored on the road. You just can't. And I think that's the big takeaway for me is we're going to see Tua in a situation where even worse than the Jags pass defense, there should be opportunities. It sounds like Parker could be back. I think he's a big deal to this passing offense because what he brings to the outside, Gesicki's come on. Waddle is starting to look like a nice piece. Sean, I'm doing it one last time. Fucking Island Strong. Atlanta should not be favored in this spot. That's
no, they shouldn't, but
I'm sticking to my process. All right. I'm not burning incense.
Okay.
In here.
Joe Judge.
That wasn't nice. Take that back.
Trust the process, right?
Last thing I'll say, does Miami look ahead to Buffalo here?
Miami
exactly just, why I like
Miami
them.
No doesn't, they don't ahead. Look ahead, but they also don't look at their opponent in the eye because they're sad. They're going to look down at the ground, look at their shoes, realize what are they going to do after professional football because it's not working out for the Dolphins.
Let's see what
I keep going back and forth on this Deshaun Watson trade thing because on one hand, if Miami does trade Deshaun Watson, it validates everything I said about Tua and that they never believed in Tua and that he just isn't the guy. And they know that. And they were always in the Deshaun Watson race. But if Deshaun Watson is traded to them and he starts playing for them somehow and isn't suspended, that would, and starts winning games, that really messes up the Eagles pick. So I'm a little torn, but it could also mean that Tua goes to the Washington football team, please Lord, please God send Tua to the Redskins. Not that I'm even worried about the Redskins. I guess he is an upgrade from Heineke.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think what we're going to see with the way that we're going to be so quick with quarterbacks now is guys are going to get, there's going to be a lot of second chances a la the Sam Darnold experience this year. All right, I'm doing it. Stick with Miami. Let's go. Jets coming off a bye week. They're heading to New England to take on the Patriots. Bill Belichick against a rookie quarterback. Laying 7 here, -320 on the money line. Jets +260. 42.5 is the total. I know a lot of people telling you to get down on that under before it gets to 42. It does seem like this is going to be an under game. Jets are coming off the bye. Perhaps we can see a little more from the offense. This New England team has been much improved, but is this just clearly a lay the points because it's Belichick versus the Jets and don't overthink it. Mac Jones, this team, they're looking better. This could be a game where they can finally stretch their legs a little bit. Is that the angle here?
Yeah. I mean, your case for the Jets is, I don't know. This is pretty tough, but it would be, hey, they're coming off a bye. New England, that was a tough loss.
91% of the money is on the Patriots.
Yeah, the public's all over it, but the public keeps winning. So I'm trying not to factor in what the public is doing into
public
my handicapping.
Doesn't keep winning forever.
No, but I'm not factoring that into the handicapping. I'm just going to pick who's going to cover against the spread, Ryan.
Keep the blinders up.
It's just like a horrible matchup for the Jets. I just don't think they're going to be able to move the ball. I mean, Zach Wilson threw for 4 interceptions at home against the Patriots. Now maybe they figure some things out and they did have 2 weeks to prepare for the Patriots.
Yep.
But I think Mac Jones looks really confident. He looks to be the noticeably better quarterback here. And I think this is kind of almost a get right game for Mac Jones. Like he's looked good and they keep losing. I think he needs to look good and for them to get the W. I don't know why it's not more than 7.
That's almost scary because it does feel like this should be more than 7. It does feel like Zach Wilson has to show me he can do something on the road before he has looked horrible on the road. He's looked horrible in every single road spot. And I don't know what the odds are, but he's going to throw an interception. He's going to have problems. The offense might improve, but they're going to improve from the 32nd ranked offense. So I think you got to, I don't like, this is a teaser, right? Like this go, you can just put this as the first leg of my teaser because there's no way the Patriots are losing this game. But I'm gonna lay, and I think it's tough, but I'll lay the 7. I do still worry about laying a touchdown with this team.
Yeah.
They are what's their record, Sean? 1-5? 2-4.
The Patriots?
Yeah,
they're 2-4.
2-4. Not exactly been, but I'm with you. I think Mac Jones
they look is good.
Crescendoing.
And one of the teams they've beat has been the Jets. So yeah, I think they get another win here. And Patriots haven't won yet at home. You want to talk about stuff due for a regression. Patriots are going to get a home victory.
That's why this is like leg one of the teaser. I just got to convince myself that laying the points is the right thing to do here. All right. Next up, Detroit heads to Los Angeles. Jared Goff, revenge game. Matt Stafford, revenge game. We're laying 15 with the Rams -1,000. Detroit plus 650. 50.5 is the total. Dan Campbell calling out his quarterback, saying he needs to do more. He's a passionate guy. Maybe he was letting his emotions go there. I don't know. The revenge spots are fun. Detroit 3-1 against the spread as a dog of 7.5 or more. They are a dog of 7.5 or more here. To me, though, my handicap breaks down when I think about how bad Sean McVay wants to show people how dumb Jared Goff is.
He wants to expose Jared Goff. And he wants to highlight that he made the right deal, that he's Sean McVay. I think this is a huge spot for McVay. He is, because he probably was already in like the third or fourth quarter of that Giants game working on the game plan for this Lions team. You know, fantasy wise, I do think DeAndre Swift could have a nice little PPR game, but I think Detroit's going to continue to just struggle passing the ball. Like the receivers are really banged up and they have Jared Goff. And clearly even the coach doesn't have confidence in Jared Goff.
No.
It's just going to, Aaron Donald against that defense, that offensive line.
And if you want to think about their I know Detroit's a winless, desperate team and all that jazz. They haven't been all that scrappy on the road. We've brought that up before. No. And I think if you want to talk about when the Rams might be flat, they have Houston next week on the road. So it's like nothing, everything about the normal, like, oh yeah, this is great. The garbage man, Jared Goff, he's going to be able. No, I'm laying the big chalk here because I think Sean McVay knows exactly what Jared Goff sucks at.
Yes.
But also
imagine playing Jared Goff and
he's the mayor.
Also knowing Jared Goff's weaknesses. And a lot of people have been asking, and I will, Jared Goff Island, all reservations are completely discreet. We value the privacy here in Jared Goff sucks Island. So I can not confirm, deny, I'm not even going to address whether or not Dan Campbell called and tried to make reservations at Jared Goff. Not even going to begin to answer that. So I won't answer that, but you will can't confirm or deny.
You will share that there are plans for a new Starbucks on Jared Goff's
expansion plans are in the work. I can tell you that
we didn't have the 48 ounce cup size. We apologize.
I wish they offered Jared Goff sucks Island on prediction strike. Because that would be a buy low, sell high opportunity.
We need that. How do we make that a reality?
I'll talk to the good folks over there.
Let's talk to those folks. All right. Oh man, it does feel a little bit like we're paying a couple points extra on this one.
Yep.
But that's okay. Philly heads to Las Vegas. Sean will be there. Detroit, Los Angeles, of course, was a 105 kick. This is also a 105 kick in the
desert.
Death Star, AKA Thunderdome. It really should have gone for Thunderdome. I feel like that's such a better in the desert, Mad Max. Let's go for that. -3 for the Raiders. -165 on the money line. Philly +145. 49 is the total. The look ahead was 2, Sean. Now it's 3. I told you, uncomfortably, I think this is a great spot for the Eagles here. Yeah. Raiders coming off a big divisional win on the road. First game, new coach bump. We always like the first one. We don't like the second one. Not to mention, the Raiders have a bye on deck. And I would imagine that the coach celebrated a little bit for his first win.
Yeah, why not?
A little bit, just a little bit. And then you got the bye on deck. You got family coming into town to celebrate that first win. You probably got people looking to get tickets, more people than normal, because now you're the head coach. People want to come see you play. I think there'll be a lot of Eagles fans. Maybe the Eagles are bad enough to keep that from happening. Last nugget before I throw it over to you, Sean.
Yes.
I saw a little nugget here from PFF. Philly has a top 10 offensive and defensive line still somehow. And I wonder if this is the kind of game where they can control the Raiders, who I've seen not exactly have a strength on offensive line. And if the defensive line doesn't show up, their back end definitely won't. You mentioned, should we be stacking Sanders and Hurts in DFS this week? I think
and Shane Steichen, their offensive coordinator, finally admitted they need to get Miles Sanders more involved. It's like, no shit. Mm. It only took you six games. What, were you not getting my threatening voicemails, Shane Steichen?
Wow, okay. And voicemails,
old guy. Letters, tweets. He's not on Twitter. I think we're going to be able to get pressure on Carr, especially, you know, you got a guy like Fletcher Cox, a kind of like a veteran guy who's, you know, probably certainly past his prime. You give him that little mini bye. They're coming off the Thursday game. I think that's a nice little bump for them. Maybe, you know, the all 22, not super kind to Jalen Hurts, but I think the extra time, maybe, especially for a rookie head coach, I feel like it's probably been a whirlwind for Nick Sirianni. Gives him a little time to catch his breath, go back, reset, maybe get back to some simple systems. And this is from Pro Football Focus, Ryan. Since 2017, the Philadelphia Eagles are 3-0 against the spread and straight up when Sean Green attends the game in the Pacific time zone.
Wow. Okay.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
I'll be there. I'll be physically willing them to victory. Again, not to tip our hand, but a really big guest Saturday. We will be doing a podcast with. I feel like we'll be good for the mojo.
You mentioned Fletcher Cox earlier. You should probably hit that drop.
Long Cox.
There you go. Hell of a teaser. Yeah, I mean, I think the Raiders typically invade other stadiums, and I do
cockroaches.
Think Philly feels like they can out cockroach the Raiders when it comes to visiting attendance. So I do expect the Philly fans to be there.
We're gonna be there. We're gonna get up for this game, and I think it's actually the perfect spot to play this Raiders team. Yeah, get up, win one for Gruden. We're bigger than this. We're gonna come together. Destroy the Broncos, and you come back and you're like, oh, I'm gonna play the Eagles. It's easy to overlook it. One thing worth monitoring.
Mm.
Dallas Goedert, who is vaccinated, popped up on the COVID list
again
last week. It was like Tuesday, and there was like maybe a chance, or Monday, Tuesday last week, there was a chance that he was going to play Thursday, they thought, but he still hasn't been cleared. We're taping this late Wednesday afternoon. Mm. Usually vaccinated players are cleared by now. He only needs a back-to-back days with negative tests. So something to keep an eye on. I'm guessing he didn't practice, because he was on the COVID list. I mean, he knows the offense; they can just pop him in. But keep an eye on that. Maybe he has a lingering case, and that would certainly hurt the Eagles' offense. So something to keep an eye on.
All right. Next up, 125 kick. Oh, you
son. Right. If only there was a. If only there was some sort of sheep.
I wasn't looking. I wasn't looking.
Oh yeah. Prediction strike. That's right. PredictionStrike.com. Head over to PredictionStrike.com. Get in over there. Like I said, athlete shares. You buy and sell them just like any sort of stock market, but it's a sports stock market. You know, you can hodl, you can sell, much like the crypto market, crypto going through the roof. Again, you're a degen. It's fun to see your net worth go up and down, and also to tie it to sports. A lot of fun. And they the good folks over at Prediction Strike passed along a nice little Jalen Hurts nugget on his Prediction Strike price. Of course, if you and then the numbers, their value is based tied to their fantasy performance. So Jalen Hurts' stock has steadily climbed all season, up 42% from $1.41 share at the beginning of the season to $2.01 share now. Dating back to the end of the last season, he's all the way up from $1 a share. If you had invested $1,000 in Jalen's stock when Carson Wentz was still at the helm, you would have doubled your money. And the best part is use the promo code SGP, get a free athlete share when you deposit $20 or more. A lot of fun over at predictionstrike.com.
Well done, Sean.
Thank you.
I do like the concept of trading athletes, the share model,
yes,
the stock market thing. I feel like we've seen a couple before. This one has legs, Sean. Next up, 1:25 p.m. on the West Coast. Chicago heads to Tampa, where the Bucs are 12.5-point favorites, -750 on the money line. Bears +525. 47 is the total. Again, this is just, it seems as though this is a huge line. Tampa's got New Orleans on deck at New Orleans. I don't know if they look at that as a look ahead, but I gave this out last week as a reason to fade the Bucs. And this week it points to taking the Bucs, and that's Tampa Bay is 0-4 when they're laying less than double digits, but they're 2-0 when they lay double digits this year. So
I'm going the other way. I'm taking the Bears and the giant number. I think their defense is interesting enough to keep this a game. And to me, this is really kudos to Munoz and his ref report. This is a ref spot all day. Mm. Alex Kemp coming in. He's 5-0 against the spread for the road team. Love that tied together with the Bears defense. And if there's ever going to be a Justin Fields kind of breakout game, getting a Darryl Mooney deep ball going, I think this could be the game. The Tampa Bay secondary still just like hasn't figured it out. And then the same way where Tampa Bay kind of controlled the game for most of the game, and then the Eagles kind of made their way back into the game with Hurts running. Maybe there's a similar world where Justin Fields, he finally started running a little bit. He doesn't look amazing running, but he was somewhat, you know, successful against that Packers defense. And I think I could see a similar script here. Also, 12.5 points is a ton of points.
So the two other games,
9 yards a carry for Fields last week, 4 for 37. So he's getting that going. Or no, sorry, 6 for 43. I was looking at the wrong thing. 6 for 43. Yeah, that's a nice little performance from him. And I could see him running a bunch in garbage time, getting them back in this game and covering this number.
Man, here's what concerns me. If you look at the Bucs schedule and you look at the spots where they laid all the points against the Falcons and against the Dolphins, and you could argue that those teams haven't exactly been slinging the ball very well. And I worry with the Bucs' propensity to slow down rushing attacks that if the Bears can't run the ball at all, I hear you about Justin Fields, but boy, has he looked bad. And if would you say Justin Fields is at a Tua level right now? Because I'd put him below Tua. And if you're talking to, I guess it was Brissett, but if you're putting him at a level where you think he can participate in a shootout, if he can exploit the pass funnel of the Bucs defense,
I think no secondary. Well, and I think that Bears defense is a little underrated. And they held Devontae Adams to 89 yards, which I feel like is an accomplishment. Granted, that was a division game that they're up for, but I still think they can do enough to keep this interest.
So I'm guessing you think this should be closer to 10. Whereas my thought is like, could this be one of those games that gets away from them?
Look, there's a ton of massive spreads here. The Detroit Rams spread makes sense. The Houston Arizona spread makes sense. This one to me, I think this is, hey, we can't keep giving away these free teasers, and we need to really inflate the spread. I mean, the spread went from 10 to 12.5. I mean, I don't see anything from that Bears performance against Green Bay that would warrant a 2.5-point swing.
Everything we're talking about makes sense to me, but I think about what Justin Fields looks like, and I just don't know if he can keep up with this offense. The only way this comes through is if, like you say, this Bears defense is good enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay the points.
30. This will be like, you know, I mean, what? 30 to 20.
You know what it feels like? 31-14. That's what it feels
31-20, like. Right? And they get, as time expires, they get a touchdown.
I have a hard time buying that the Bucs. I mean, if this was in Chicago, maybe we're talking about it. All right. Houston heads to Arizona, where the Cardinals undefeated, Sean, 5-1 against the spread. They're laying 18 points, minus 1800 on the money line. Houston is nearly 10-1 at 950 to win this game. 48 is the total. Oh my goodness. Now, I just laid a couple big numbers, but on this one, my Texans, you just got to take the points. Not only is Arizona just like they're killing it. They're 6-0, they're 5-1 against the spread. So there's definitely a premium on the Arizona side, but they have Green Bay on deck on Thursday night football. Could Tyrod play, Sean?
No, I don't think so. I mean, double check, but is he playing?
He's going to need to practice to play, but yeah, it sounds like Mills is going to start.
Yeah. Davis Mills on the road is an ATS auto fade. I know the angle of Arizona looking ahead. I just bet on Houston plus 10 in a division matchup against a team that's much worse. And they had no fucking chance in that game. I'm not doing it again. You could hold me down. Laremy Tunsil being out for the Texans is the difference in this game. Cardinals are getting Chandler Jones back. Also,
D-hop revenge spot. Is that where you're going?
D-hop revenge spot. I didn't even get to that, but that's certainly a real thing. Also, look out for Zach Ertz in a GPP.
Whoop. Yeah, I mean, that's fun. Double stack with Kyler.
Now, so it's one of those situations where like he just got to the team. Does he know the offense? But doesn't it seem like
this is a Stanford guy?
Yeah, he's smart enough. He's a veteran guy. Like, couldn't you just see him? That they are kind of up big, and him and Rondale Moore get a lot of looks because they don't need to do much.
You're just, I mean, again, I'm angling the flat spot. I just think they have Green Bay, I think San Francisco after that.
But this doesn't strike me as a team that's going to be flat, like regardless of situation. There's something going on in Arizona. It's like when Shaq went down there and he revitalized his career. Some of this Phoenix medical staff, these guys are playing to win. Zach Ertz, $3,900. So he's kind of a fun DFS play. If you're really trying to win a tournament, I don't think he's going to be owned a ton, and it's against a team that really sucks. And maybe they're going to try him out.
Last couple things I'll say, because I'm taking the Texans. Texans back-to-back road spot. It's been a good trend. I'm sticking to it since 2003, Sean. Undefeated teams laying greater than 17, laying more than 17 points. It's only happened six times. 0-6 against the spread. So what are we buying here? We're buying a little Arizona's overvalued. Last thing I'll say, maybe we get some fumble regression. Cardinals have recovered a ridiculous 16 of 21.
They're breaking the model, Ryan.
That's not part of the model.
This is not a year for modeling.
Give me the Texans.
The only model I want is from some nice airplane glue. Let's go, baby.
Indy, the Colts, Carson Wentz, they head to the Bay Area. Niners coming off the bye, laying 4, minus 190 on the money line, plus 170 for the Colts. 44 is the total. This Colts team is starting to, like I said, I think I like them to win the division. They do have a look ahead against Tennessee here. San Francisco, you got to think your guy hasn't prepared coming off the bye. Shanahan. I do think this is a bad spot because they do have they came off that big divisional game against the Texans, and now they're heading into a look ahead with Tennessee coming on deck. This game obviously does not matter as much, but they need wins. And I think if this team had a better record, this could be a flat spot. I think they needed to rack up wins, and they see a quarterback who's vulnerable in Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Shanahan now can't start either one of his quarterbacks. So he's going to have to roll out Garoppolo. I guess he's less hurt, or he realized that Trey Lance is so bad he can't see the field and he manufactured a knee injury. So I don't know what's going on in San Francisco. I can't take them right now. Can't take Jimmy G. As much as we like to hate on Carson Wentz, his numbers have looked good. His advanced numbers have looked good. His actual like layman numbers have looked okay. He's not doing Carson Wentz things, AKA turning the ball over. And if Carson Wentz is handing the ball to Jonathan Taylor and not turning the ball over, I don't mind this well-coached Colts team. I'm going to grab the points.
Yeah, I mean,
in prime time,
I'm with you. I'm taking Indy plus +4. They figured out they got rid of Blankenship. They signed another kicker. That should be helpful because it does feel like this could be a 7, you know, like a 20-17 type game. I definitely want 4 points in this. I don't see Jimmy G with this calf injury coming out and lighting it up. And how does San Francisco, how are they effective, Ryan, right? From running the ball on offense, Indy actually has the number one rushing DVOA defense. And you're seeing some of their guys get back healthy. Darius Leonard is coming around. I know he was dealing with some injury stuff. It looks like Quentin Nelson has a chance to go. And again, I think they can kind of pound the rock with Jonathan Taylor. Like you were saying, keep San Francisco's offense, the ball control thing, whatever they're trying to do there.
Yeah.
Out of sorts.
It's a great point. I mean, it's the same handicap I used for the Bucks and the Bears. I think when the offense needs it and if they aren't successful getting it, it could be a long game. We've seen Jimmy G just look horrible before. And you know, this Colts defense, they were an elite unit at times last year. So maybe they're rounding into shape. Monday night.
Let's go Colts.
Yeah, God, I know. Right?
I hate
plus +4. All right, Monday Night Football. Saints coming off a bye. Wow, both games feature a team coming off the bye. New Orleans coming off the bye. They head to Seattle where they're laying 4.5, minus -220 on the money line, plus +185 for the Seahawks. 43.5 is the total. I'm sure Russ will be out there shadow playing quarterback before and after the game.
I mean, one thing to be on the sidelines, but then he's doing his little warm up routine before, almost like he saw the attention that Dak got with his hips don't lie
almost
video.
And
then he's out there for the coin toss. Mike Florio was all worked up about that. Like, wait, he's not a part of the active roster. What's going on?
He's the quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know. Who gives a shit? It was just funny.
We get another primetime Geno Smith moment. How this worked out so well for Geno Smith to be playing in primetime. I would say Geno Smith, the way he played at the end of the day on the road in Pittsburgh was impressive.
Yeah, it wasn't horrible.
And I think when you bring that home, that crowd, that little bit of juice, perhaps Jameis has another incident with some crab legs there in the Pacific Northwest.
There is a lot of seafood out there.
It's hard for me to want to start by laying the points with the Saints, a team that I don't think is going to blow many teams out in a game that I think is going to be low scoring. If the Saints steal this one in the ultimate revenge against Beast Mode from how many years ago was that, Sean? A decade? Jesus.
Yeah.
And I just think you have to fade Jameis Winston when he's a favorite. And I don't think we've seen enough to suggest otherwise, especially north of that 3. So Jameis laying more than 3, especially on the road, is absolute auto fade. And if you want to get a little deeper, Winston has never covered on Monday Night Football, 0-2 against the spread.
I'm going New Orleans.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
That's surprising.
A little chalky, but you're giving Sean Payton 2 weeks to prepare for Geno Smith.
True.
I like that. And in the same way the teams get up for that replacement coach, I think they do that a lot of times with the backup quarterback. They get up for that one game with the backup quarterback. I mean, with the situation in Case Keenum, I don't like it because they're so injured and it's a short week to prepare, but now we're week 2. I feel like they did everything they could. Seattle, that was a best case scenario. They kind of exposed what they were going to do, and it was just going to give Collins the ball one after another. And you know, Geno Smith couldn't get the ball to Tyler Lockett at all. So I think they put, What's their stronger cornerback? I'm blanking on his name, but they put him on Metcalf. I think he's able to slow him down enough. This is also, again, shout out to Munaf Manji and the ref report over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. This is a Sean Hockley game. Sean Hockley 6-0 against the spread for the road team. Let's keep printing money and not think about it. This is all rigged like professional wrestling, but Sean Hockley, he'll get the job done in Seattle. I think it's just very obvious now that you have a week of film on how they're going to play with Geno Smith, the adjustments are very easy. And I think actually Jameis Winston could have a massive game against this Seattle secondary.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love the spot, but again, I think
Lattimore was the guy I was blanking.
I'm fading Jameis laying all these points more than anything. But I like your angle. The being that prepared for Geno is probably a good thing. I'm seeing in the YouTube chat that Fanger Banger is calling out that road favorites after a bye. Unfortunately, I have some data to refute that claim. Road dogs off a bye. So I guess you're not going against this, but you want to be the road dog off the, that's the strong trend. That's the one that's sitting about 59%. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, good luck. I think New Orleans has been a stronger road team lately. I think Seattle hasn't been the home team they have lately. So still just way too many points here. All right. What are we doing next?
Let's
Buffalo, Dallas, Jacksonville, Chargers, Vikings, and Steelers all on bye.
Time for the lock dog tease. Bonus lock. Let's go.
Double lock salute.
Let's go.
Well, I went first last week.
Yes, we need to get you off going first.
Why don't you go first this week?
Carolina minus 2.5. Ryan, the Giants really? Are one of the worst five teams in the league. I like the Bengals plus 6. Do I just I need to not overthink it. Just give me New England minus 7 as the second lock. And the Jets really suck, even though they're coming off, even it's a road bye. They're coming off a bye. I just don't see it. Give me the New England Patriots laying 7, the Panthers laying 2.5. I mean, super chalky, but I'm not going to overthink it for my dog.
No
dog, dog, dog.
Haven't picked them all year in the dog spot. Give me the Philadelphia Eagles plus 145 to get it done in the desert for my tees. And if you were, if you're actually playing any of our stuff, the teases are where it's at this year.
Very profitable.
Give me Denver up to 7.5 points against the Cleveland Browns. What else do I like here? Oh, Green Bay down to 2.5. Yes, please. And then give me the Rams minus 9. They're gonna destroy them. So Panthers in New England are the locks. Dog is the Eagles plus 145. The tees, Denver plus 7.5, Green Bay minus 2.5, and Rams minus 9. What do you got, Kramer?
I'm a fucking savage. Gonna lock up a historical all timer, 0-6 against the spread. Give me the Houston Texans.
Oh my God.
That's right.
You're locking up the Houston Texans.
I'm locking up the Houston Texans, a historically large spread. And on the other side, give me the Los Angeles Rams. Okay. Sean McVay is gonna fuck this team up so hard. I'm taking the two biggest spreads on the board, going each way with
it. Like it.
Come at me. Dog, give me Miami. Atlanta should not be a favorite here. Thought about Seattle. I'm a little worried about Geno Smith. And then for the tees, yeah, I told you, you start my tees with New England minus 1. So we're going to start the tees with New England minus 1. With the second leg of the tees, we're going to take Denver. Let's get this one in early, up to 7.5.
Yep.
Teddy Bridgewater, way too many points for him. And the final leg of the teaser, I don't want to put Miami in twice. So I'm not going to push them to 8.5. What I am going to do is I'm going to take the Colts up to 10.
Ooh, okay.
I don't see this team getting blown out. So that's my teaser. As you mentioned, absolute fire with the teasers. I feel great about this, the locks though.
Three team teasers. All right. So for our Circa Millions, I say we just play our first four. We double lock. So just play those four: Rams, Houston, Carolina, New England. What is the one other pick that we both agree on? Cincinnati plus 6 is there. Denver. Maybe we mix up the mojo by getting a Thursday night game in there. That's kind of fun. Philly plus 3.
Let's fire early. Denver.
Denver.
When you're behind, you got to catch up and you got to play the games no one's playing, and that's Denver.
Let's go.
No one plays Thursday night.
Dog.
Dog. Oh man, what a podcast. And of course, remember, bonus podcast on Saturday. Special guest live from the Win at the Blue Wire Studios. We're also giving away $500 in cold hard cash. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/contest, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/contest. All the information there. Yeah, leave a rating and review for your chance to win. Well, actually, leave the rating and review as part of the contest. Save you some review points there. But hey, if you don't win the DFS, you'll still have a chance to win every Monday, aka Merch Monday.
Thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
For the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, stacking the money green, and he is Ryan.
Sean, best of luck this weekend.
Kramer, let it ride.